Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I do not know the language of the legal. This is express. You cannot duplicate or recreate this without the express.
Let's just paraphrase it. Don't reuse this for any televised or recorted or any.
Hey, don't take our stuff. All right?
Don't swaggerjack our stuff on our
don't
show.
Don't swaggerjack our dissections. All right? Derek Mason, it's time for a dissection. And since the Titans did not play this weekend, Nick Foles did. The Titans will face Nick Foles this weekend. You will dissect.
I will dissect Nick Foles. Nick Foles. I'm going to come at it from a different angle because I sat and I watched, I watched 30 something of his passes. I didn't watch all 40.
I'm sorry.
But I watched 30 something of his passes.
He threw the ball 47 times against the Colts last week.
I didn't want to break it down the way I broke down Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. I didn't want to break it down from that aspect because it would be hard for our listeners because they don't know. They haven't seen Nick Foles game in and game out. They've seen Marcus and Ryan game in and game out.
The Jaguars haven't seen Nick Foles game in and game out.
And so when I speak on those two quarterbacks, I think our listeners can kind of visualize what's going on. But if I do that with Nick Foles, I think it's kind of hard because they're like, okay, well, Nick Foles, what is he? Okay, whatever. But I come at it from this angle because I sat there and I watched Nick Foles. And there are some good to Nick Foles and there are some bad to Nick Foles. I think the one thing that Nick Foles does that could be bad for the Tennessee Titans and sort of good at the same time is that Nick is decisive, and he gets rid of the ball early. Now, there were a few passes, one in particular, where he got a little rush. He knew where he was going, but he released the ball before the receiver was looking. It should have been an interception by Indianapolis, but the guy dropped the ball. That could be both good and bad for the Tennessee Titans. It could be bad in he anticipates very quickly, and he's going to get the ball in the hands of his receivers. And they're going to get an opportunity to run after the catch. But then it could be good for the Titans because maybe just maybe the receiver's not looking when you get pressure on the quarterback and you can get an interception, Kevin Byard. So that's sort of the it can be good and it can be bad on both ends. He does a great job at getting the ball away early. He does a great job at throwing the ball in the middle of the field. That's what he does well, kind of like we talked about Marcus Mariota. What does Marcus do well? Short, intermediate, middle, in between the hash pass.
Joe Burrow does
exactly.
That very well.
Joe Burrow does that very well. They do a lot of three wide, four wides. They want to spread you out, meaning Jacksonville, and they want to try to find a mismatch. And he typically is finding that mismatch in the middle of the field with his receivers or his tight end. So the Titans have to anticipate when they are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they can then make them one-dimensional, I think they have to anticipate him trying to exploit the middle of the field with his, whether it be his tight ends, because that's where the Titans have had problems, covering tight ends. They've had problems with that. They hadn't necessarily had problems covering the outside guys, even though there were a few guys that kind of went off. But for the most part, they've done a good job at covering the outside guys.
Not Mike Evans.
Not Mike Evans.
But
yeah,
everybody
else, yes.
In fact, they did a great job on Julio Jones.
Absolutely. So with Nick Foles, they have to make him hold on to the ball longer than what he wants to. Because if he does that, he tends to make mistakes. But when just like any other quarterback, when he can release the ball quickly and in rhythm, that's where he's good. He's not a Tom Brady where he can sit back there, pat the ball, and then find the guy. He's not a Drew Brees. He can't do that.
And
Russell Wilson, he can't do that.
That was the conversation in scouting report about him in Philadelphia when Carson Wentz went down. Part of the reason that they were able to sustain success in that playoff run with him mm-hmm. is that he operated so like almost stubbornly within the confines of the offense.
Uh-huh.
He's not an improvisation guy.
Yeah.
He is going to see receiver, throw receiver, see ball, throw ball. Like mm-hmm. he stays within the offense, whereas Carson Wentz maybe does more improv and more changing the play and check with me and all this stuff. That was the story coming out of Philly as to why they sustained success with him mm-hmm. and were able to win a Super Bowl.
And I think it's the same here in Jacksonville. He moves around well in the pocket. He doesn't move great. he moves well. He doesn't seem like he's affected by the injury that he had to his non-throwing arm. It was a non-throwing?
Non-throwing
shoulder.
Broken collarbone, I believe.
So he doesn't seem as if he feels any, you know, kind of residual effects from having surgery and not playing. He looks crisp. He looks like he knows what he wants to do. It looks as if he knows the offense maybe even better now than he did when he first, you know, his first couple of games. He's been able to sit back, understand, watch what they want to do. Again, that could be good for the Titans. That could be bad for the Titans. Now, they didn't win the game last week, but I don't think it was necessarily because Nick Foles played horrible. I just think Jacksonville right now, they were not able to get the run going, and their defense didn't play as well as they have in the past.
Oh, we're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah, so with Nick Foles, I think the Titans, what they must do with him is, again, Harold Landry, those guys that rush the passer, they must get to him. Push the pocket in front of him. Jarrell Case, if he does play, push the pocket. Simmons, push the pocket. Push it in his face, make him step side to side, make him hold on to the ball longer than what he wants to. Because I guarantee you, when he's in rhythm, when he's throwing quick, he will dissect this defense.
Well, and DJ Chark's really having a nice breakout season. Chris Connolly's catching passes, and Dede Westbrook.
Exactly. They have guys, they may not be household names,
right,
but they have guys that play consistently. Just get the ball to them and they're gonna make plays. Well, having Nick Foles underneath center now, I think, not that they didn't believe in Gardner Minshew, because I think they did, but having him brings a added trust, because he's been there, done that, won a Super Bowl. So it brings an added trust. But the Titans, again, they gotta make him hold on to the ball longer than what he wants to, because I think when he does that, he makes mistakes.
And the question is do they have the guys who can cover for that extra half a second or second with Malcolm Butler out? Because DJ Chark, again, 51 catches, almost 800 yards receiving, 8 touchdowns. He's on pace for over 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Chris Connolly's got 519 yards receiving, 29 catches, almost 18 a clip. And then Dede Westbrook, 36 catches. And again, he's missed a couple of games with injury. He's got 415 yards. I mean, they have three guys that they can go to. There is one massive, major concern for the Jaguars, and it is on the defensive side, and it is so blatantly obvious what the Titans should do about this and how they should attack this. It's sort of like, to pay homage to our former comrade here, the game plan is just obvious. It has been given to you by the last two teams that play the Jacksonville Jaguars. I will explain that stat and why that means the Titans should have space to win and find success this weekend against the Jaguars. We'll do that when we return.
And, man, you can have success, too, in your life. And you know how you can do that? If you go see my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. And I've been telling you this for over a year now about Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne. So if you are, if you start to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances, go check out that experienced staff. They're going to give you the treatment required. Men, the treatment required to improve your quality of life. Cool Springs MD services. I've already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin. I'm one of those men. And the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune system, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. And men, when our energy levels are high, man, the family's energy level is high. I know if mama's happy, the house is happy. I know that. But if our energy level is high, then the house's energy level is high. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And who doesn't want that? And there's no better time now to achieve that type of lifestyle. Man, what are you waiting on? Give Cool Springs MD a call today. Make that appointment. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until Friday. Don't wait until next week. Today. Because if you want to help yourself now. Because if you don't do it, ain't nobody going to do it. So here's the number to help yourself help many people around you. All right? Here's the number. 615-486-3458. I'm trying to help you help you help you. All right? If that makes any sense. Yeah. Help me help you. Okay? That's what I should have said. Here's the number again. 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, CoolSpringsMD.com.
Marquise Munson just got in my ear and had a pretty strong take about this song. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Munson, would you like to throw that take out there on the airwaves here?
No, I don't care. Ghetto Boys, Mind Playing Tricks on Me. I already told you before, it's the greatest song in hip-hop ever written, and it is one of my favorite and the greatest hip-hop song of all time.
The greatest hip-hop song of all time, Derek.
I beg to differ.
Oh.
I really beg to differ. The greatest hip-hop song of all time.
If you say these are the breaks, I'm leaving.
It had to be the Originators, man. They, you know. They
Rapper's Delight?
Yeah, they are what started this whole thing off. If you listen to that song, it's about 20 minutes long, the song. But it's just an introduction to just to hip-hop,
man. What modern stuff would be in this category? Anything from your favorite Outkast?
I think Juicy.
I mean, Juicy's the first one
Juicy,
that I think of.
I say Mind Playing Tricks on Me because I say, I break it down this way.
Brenda Had a Baby because that was real.
That was. I say Mind Playing Tricks on Me for this reason. The city, the area, the genre that is running hip-hop currently is the South. The South was not mainstream in hip-hop. Mm. This was the group that got it all started with the South. I feel like
Master P would beg to differ.
Yeah.
Well, no, Ghetto Boys came out before Master P.
I know, but I'm saying Master P would beg to differ.
Cash Money was a shooting star, and then it kind of fizzled out, and Lil Wayne just kept going.
Ghetto Boys made that transition to where you didn't even know that they were from the South.
Yeah, you didn't. You really didn't.
And they were from Houston, but you could tell by their voices, obviously, but you couldn't tell that they're from the South. So that's the reason why I say you didn't even look at them as Southern artists. You looked at them as artists.
Yeah.
And how good they were. So that's why I say, and then that paved the way for guys like Outkast, because they made the same thing. You knew they were from Atlanta because what they say in their songs, but I mean, you kind of separate Outkast being from the South.
For me, Juicy and Rosa Parks are the two songs that define my fandom of hip hop when I got started, because that's when I started listening to it in the 90s. I didn't know much about NWA when I was 8 years exactly. old in 1990 or whatever, or even before that, I guess in 87, 88, 89. I didn't know anything about that. But I mean, is it cliche for me to sit here and say Nothing But a G Thing is?
No,
that not cliche? Because that to me, if I had one hip hop song to listen to for the rest of my life, that would be the song.
If
I would
we're going
to.
Cliches, and I can name a bunch of songs. I say Mind Playing Tricks on Me for just. I just dissected a little different than a lot of other people. But, I mean, there's a lot of great songs in hip-hop. That's one of the – that's a great song written by Scarface, Willie D, and Bushwick Bill.
Controversial takes flying from Munson all morning long. By the way, we will have the most controversial question in Stick to Sports history.
We are throwing
Marquise under the bus on this. Because we're going to make him ask
it. It was us that wanted this question.
Yes. Coming up.
Asked by Marquise. But it was us.
So if I ask the question, can I just – do I just pack my bags now?
No, this is on us. This is us.
This is our decision.
Yeah, this is our decision. We trump you. 2-1, we trump you.
And we take ownership.
Yeah, we take ownership.
And responsibility
this.
For this question that will be asked.
We're fighting out of a corner right here, man. Fighting out of a corner.
These are the important things that need to be asked.
Is it though? Yes, it's very important. Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm serious. You're
going to want to hear it.
You're going to want to hear it. So we'll get to that coming up at 45. Chris Jungen's going to join us, taking the place of Sean Henry in just a few minutes. Normally we talk and shop with the president. Chris Jungen's going to join us as Sean Henry's normally you say he's indisposed or detained or something. He's not in prison or whatever. He's just busy. Here's the stat you need to know, Titans fans. And this is it. The game plan has been given to you. The blueprint has been given to you. I'm not sure I need to know another statistic. I know that that Nick Foles threw it 47 times last week for Jacksonville and a loss to Indianapolis. I know that Leonard Fournette had the fewest carries in a game of his career. Mm-hmm. I know that Doug Marrone's not happy about that. Yesterday at a press conference, he's talking about how this isn't good enough. We need to run the football more. They got behind and they didn't run the ball, and that's why they failed. But none of that's why the Titans are going to win. There's a lot of history here, too. Derrick Henry is good against Jacksonville. This team owns Jacksonville, going back all the way to the 90s, whatever. Jacksonville has given up 480 yards rushing in two games. Mm. It's one thing to look at a defense and say, man, they're struggling against the run. They're giving up 140 yards a game. Mm-hmm. When you are giving up 240 yards a game, I'm sorry, Arthur, Mr. Offensive Coordinator guy, Don't overthink it. Jacksonville has given up 480 yards rushing in two football games. Again, I feel like I need to repeat it a third time. It's that astonishing of a number to me. Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry right, Derrick Henry up the middle, Derrick Henry all day. I don't know why this should not be complicated for the Titans.
No, it's not. If you look at Jacksonville defense, they rank right below Tennessee's defense in total defense. So they are a middle of the road defense. If you look at what they're doing offensively, defensively, from a run standpoint, they are fourth in rush defense, meaning they are the fourth worst in rush defense. They're giving up 134.6 yards per game. It would behoove Arthur Smith to, like you said, Braden, turn around, student body right, student body left, student body up the middle, until they prove that they can stop Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has had really good games versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know about the, I think he had close to 200, over 200 yards that Thursday night, where he had the 99-yard run.
Oh, he had 238, yeah, which I believe was the franchise single-game record.
Exactly. So he had over 200 yards. He's been known to be a Jacksonville killer. He is their Achilles heel. So, again, if the game, whatever the game plan is, if it's not run Derrick Henry right and left, then you should put it in your pocket, take those pants off, and throw them in that dirty lake that surrounds the facility. Just throw them in there.
The Cumberland River?
Yeah, the Cumberland. Throw them in that, thing.
Not a clean body of water.
Throw them in there and let it sink to the bottom. And then you go in your office and you say, it's easy, fellas. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I right, Derrick Henry left. I left, Derrick Henry right. I right, Derrick Henry up the middle. This is what we're going to do until they prove.
12 personnel, they, exactly. 13 personnel, 12 until, personnel, 13
until
personnel.
They prove they can stop it. There's no magic to this. There's no, I got to be this innovative, play caller. No, you don't. Jacksonville has shown you who they are.
And give Big Raj, put Big Raj in a situation to be successful.
That's what he does best. Run block. And let him run block until his poor heart just says no more.
Especially in a week where your head football coach has come out publicly and said, we need to run more plays on offense. Not tempo, but longer sustained drives, which means run the football.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, 480 yards in two games on defense Jacksonville's given up. That forces Jacksonville to get out of their game plan. That allows you to play the best style of football that you like to play, which is from the lead with Derrick Henry running the football. We are broken records at this point because you've changed your quarterback. The offense appears to be moving better, and Derrick Henry has largely been the constant through all of it.
In the last 2 weeks, I know you had a bye in between. You have played two of the worst rush defenses in the National Football League. Kansas City, who ranks third at 143 yards a game they're giving up, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, 134.6 yards a game. So whatever you did against Kansas City, you need to do it against Jacksonville. That's basically what it. Don't get fancy. Don't, try to throw the ball and open up the run game. The run game is already open. It's open right now. Y'all hadn't even played them. They're giving up 100 yards already. Y'all hadn't even stepped on the field right now. They're telling you, here we're going to give up this. So, if the Titans want to start off on the right foot, continue to have this momentum, because they beat Kansas City prior to the bye, so to have a little momentum, if you want to continue this momentum, then this second half of the season, sort of, as you did last year, needs to be all Derrick Henry.
There are six games left. They are not easy games.
No.
But this is the NFL. Nothing is easy. You've got opportunities in the division. You've only played two division games.
Mm-hmm.
So of your final six, you've got four in the division. You can you have it in your own control. I don't like the destiny thing, like as Chip Kelly will tell you, like, well, destiny means it's already been predetermined and you can't control your destiny, blah, 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 blah. I don't like that phrase, but it is all in front of you if you're the Tennessee Titans, because you've got four games in the division, two with Houston. You're a game back. Mm-hmm. You can catch them. All you got to do is win a couple in a row. Win three in a row. And again, I'm not saying that's easy, but go win three in a row and, you know, all of a sudden you might be in the lead in the AFC South. You're not that far off. And Floyd says it all the time, right? Everybody in the NFL is 8-8. You're a couple plays from 4-12, and you're a couple plays from 12-4. But everybody's basically 8-8. Right now you're 5-5. You're right down the middle. What are you going to do in your final six games? Huge start against the Jaguars. And I think that it sets up well for the Titans. You're at home. You've done well against this franchise. They're breaking in their quarterback. He's only played two games for their team. Their defense is struggling. You've got the formula. It all makes sense. Don't screw it up. that's basically where I'm at right now. The Preds last night, they fall 2-1 to the Winnipeg Jets. A ton more effort, a ton more energy, a ton more physicality, a couple of new names in the lineup. Matthew Olivier makes his NHL debut on the fourth line with Sissons and Watson. Steven Santini makes his debut on the third pairing for the defensive group. Philip Forsberg was on a mission last night. All of it for naught. You still fall down and you lose 2-1. It was a heated game. It was an entertaining game, but you trailed for literally every minute of it. So the Preds, a loss last night, 2-1, now 7 out of 8. Going to have to be better than that on Thursday night, but wanted to remind everybody of that score last night as the Preds fall 2-1 to the Jets. Of course, they will have a huge game with Vancouver coming up on Thursday evening where, as Nick Bonino said last night after the game, quote, need 2 points. That's it. Need 2 points. That's it. Bottom line. We'll take a quick pause when we come back. Normally, we'll talk to Sean Henry at this moment, but we're going to talk with Chris Jungens of the Nashville Predators, and we'll talk shop with him when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Normally, we talk shop here with the president, of course, CEO of the Nashville Predators, excuse me. But Chris Jungens joining us here on the program, stepping in, and maybe Wally pipping Sean Henry, frankly. I think it's, you know, as a guy who loves baseball, Chris, welcome to the show. I assume you'll appreciate that reference.
Yeah, I do appreciate the warm intro with the new age, and I'll be sure to reference that in my comments here today as we talk about the difference between my boss, Sean Henry, and myself.
I was going to ask you a different question, but if you'd like to go down that path, I will give you the freedom to do that.
No, we will not do that today.
It's a smart business move by you, Chris. Let me ask you, you know, as I'm watching the Preds game last night, and I'm kind of paying attention to what the Grizzlies are doing, I'm watching Nashville SC do their thing in the expansion draft, and we obviously have an NFL franchise here, Vanderbilt's doing their thing, and I'm just sort of watching, and you guys as the Predators organization obviously have done so many things to, you know, help bolster the experience for your fans. So that's part of this equation. Length of time in a market, demographics, these are all factors in why a sports franchise works in a particular market. But there's also an unquantifiable thing, just a fit. And I don't know how you quantify fit for a sport, a team, an organization, and a market. How would you quantify that extra thing that you can't really put on paper and why maybe the Preds have fit in with Nashville, or maybe why any sports team works in any market?
Well, I think you have to go back to, you know, who your consumers are and your core constituencies. And if you have fantastic relationships with your fans, your partners, your performers, then I think that you've got the makings of, you build the foundation of success. So, you know, you have to have that. You have to have some on the field or on the ice performance and success there too. And the magic happens when all that sort of comes together. You know, for us, we've been able to do that over the last handful of years. We've sort of refocused our attention to our fans, our partners. We listen a lot more. We really make this franchise about them. And then you couple that with the success that we've had on the ice, and I think that might be what you're looking for. Again, to me, that's hard to quantify, but that's the only thing I can really turn to is, you know, the relationship you have with your core constituencies has got to be paramount. And when you do that and you have that secret sauce with that group, you can really make the magic happen.
So Chris, what you're saying is, because I think a lot of times in sports, we say, just win, baby, win. That's all we care about is win. And if you win, everything else will be taken care of. I think that worked maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but to listen to you. And I think Braden and I and Marquise kind of prescribes to it too. Winning isn't the end all be all. You have to, yes, winning is great, but if you're winning and you haven't developed that relationship with your fans, which you guys have done a great job at doing, then, you know, just like anything else, once you stop winning, they're going to leave.
That's right. There are countless examples of teams that have popped up and made runs or won cups or championships that in 2 years, all of that work that they did to win that championship is seemingly gone. So for us, we take a little bit of a different approach. The winning certainly helps. And look, we built this business so that we could afford David Poile the resources he needed to build the winning teams. But if you just rely on winning, you're going to win and things will be very good for a few years. And then, you know, we all know sports is cyclical, right? You can't win every year. And so when you're down, you're really down and you have to rebuild it. And, you know, we don't want to be in any sort of rebuilding phase. We want to constantly have a great relationship with our fans. Hopefully the winning comes and then you've got the magic.
Chief Revenue Officer of the Nashville Predators, Chris Jung, is joining us here. And I know you're a huge baseball guy. I know you love baseball. And I just am curious your thoughts, because you have such a unique perspective into this market and into the people and how they consume sports. Just, you know, what your opinion is of baseball in this market. It feels like we're a National League town. It feels like we've got a lot of different fans, from Braves fans to Reds fans to Cardinals fans to Cubs fans. I don't know what you make of the idea and the concept of baseball coming to the city. Do you think it would work?
Well, you're right. I'm a huge baseball guy. Played Division I baseball and was drafted. Have coached my son and his teams at the elite travel level for quite some time. So I do love the game. It's unfortunate for me to watch how the game's being played now with, you know, home runs and fly balls and strikeouts. It's more about that than it is about the real game that I played, which was, you know, strategic and those things. But, you know, I think baseball could work in Nashville. Look, Nashville has proven it can support whatever we bring to it. I do think that baseball's quite a bit away from happening here in Nashville. There's a lot of moving parts that would need to happen for baseball and Rob Manfred to bring baseball to Nashville. So I do think it'll work. If you plopped it in today, I think it could work, but I think we're a long ways away from the reality of baseball in Nashville.
Yeah, well, let's stick with the baseball thing because obviously the Hall of Fame ballot has been announced, and there are, I think, 18 newcomers, and one of those newcomers is Derek Jeter, along with a few other guys. But I think there's only been one guy, maybe Ken Griffey, if I'm not mistaken, that has been basically a unanimous guy. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you know the sport. Is Derek Jeter another one of those unanimous? He's going in. There shouldn't be anyone that kind of second guess whether he should go in or not right now.
Well, Sean and Brandon Walker probably made you ask me that question. I'm a huge Orioles fan, and uh-huh. have been my whole life. And when you're an Oriole fan, you hate the Yankees and the Red Sox because they can outspend you and typically have
You have a beautiful ballpark, listen, though. I will admit that.
And as a Mets fan, I totally understand your line of thinking here.
So, but to answer your question, and if I take my Orioles hat off just for a second, because I can't do it often, but Derek Jeter's a unanimous Hall of Famer. I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever play. The intangibles that he brought to the game, there's very few that will ever match that. You know, the captain, right? I mean, he just made that whole team go. I think there's a lot of guys that will probably have better stats than Jeter. But he's a unanimous Hall of Famer in my view. Now, I will tell you, mm-hmm. to end this question, I do think Cal Ripken was a better shortstop.
I'm not going to argue that.
You got to get in there. No,
yeah, my years in Baltimore, Cal was the man. They loved him across the, not just the city of Baltimore, but the state of Maryland. So, you know, hell, they got a park he built a park for what is the little league teams.
I mean,
that's
I'm more of a Ray Ordonez guy, but whatever, it's fine. It's cool. Chris Jung is joining us here from the Nashville Predators. All right, real quickly here, Scott Hamilton and Friends, the fourth annual event benefiting the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation, of course, which will take place at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, November 24th, coming up this weekend. Tell everybody a little bit about that event and how they can get involved, Chris.
Yeah, great event. You know, it's Sunday. It's always great to have Scott, who's such a great community partner out at Fordyce Antioch and Fordyce Bellevue. He's done wonders for figure skating and just getting kids out and learning how to skate. So we've got his event on Sunday. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. A very good event, entertaining, and a lot of money raised to go back into the community for youth sports and youth figure skaters. So come out and support that event. The other one that I'll mention before we get off here is WKU in Louisville. Louisville's number 5, I think, in the country. That'll be next Friday, so that's November the 29th. So come out and watch that too. It's amazing the events that we can do here and how we flip it from ice to hoops to concerts back to ice to dirt to bulls. Just awesome to watch our crew work. So come out if you're sitting around and kind of bellies are full with the turkey. Come out and support your friends at the Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena.
Chris Jung, yeah, Western Kentucky. We talked to the head coach Rick Stansberry yesterday and. They're the best team in Conference USA right now. Louisville's number 2 in the nation. That's a really nice event coming up on Friday. Ticketmaster.com and, of course, Scott Hamilton and friends as well at Bridgestone Arena. Chief Revenue Officer of the Nashville Predators and Bridgestone Arena, Chris Jungens. Thank you, sir.
Hey, see you guys.
Yep.
Absolutely. Much appreciated there. I don't expect him to go Jeter over Ripken. He's allowed to be a fan.
Yeah,
he's
allowed to be a fan. I don't think many Baltimoreans
will go
Jeter over Cal.
It's like criminal. Like, you know, yeah, you get charged with a crime or something.
Yeah, they take you to jail right there. Yeah. As soon as you say it, police come out, take you to jail.
Also, as someone, and again, Chris is obviously deeply tied into all the Pred stuff that's been going on in this market, but he is a big, big-time baseball guy. Mm-hmm. As you heard him talk about, he got drafted, and to hear him say something like, I think we're a long way from baseball coming to Nashville, I think that's sort of all you need to know about where the state of that conversation actually truly is. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of stuff floated and ideas and rumors and stories, but I think we're much further away from anything actually happening than people think. I know we've got some renderings mm-hmm. of this and ideas of that, and I think, listen to Chris there.
I just think as a city, first you gotta figure out where are we going to put it, where are they going to put it, and then, okay, how do we market, you know, this baseball team, and is it going to be an expansion team? Or are you going to, you know, bring a team from somewhere else? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered before you even, you know, say, okay, let's vote on it now. There's a bunch of stuff that needs to be answered. Can baseball work in this demographic? I mean, in this region? I don't know. It would be hard for me to say yes, it will, because you look at everything that's going on around Nashville, and it's just like, okay. Where, how,
who,
okay, yep. Then when you put it in, there's all the stuff you got to do as far as logistics-wise, as far as getting people in and out. You can't just throw a baseball or stadium down there and say, okay, here we go.
You mean like maybe possibly some public transportation
Absolutely,
options?
Absolutely,
yeah. But then also you got to think, if you have a baseball team here, you're going to get caught up in the mold of you got to compete with the Preds, now Nashville SC and the Titans, and you have to figure out where you fall in that mold. And mm-hmm. that's what a lot of teams with multiple, like DC's one of them, I'm pretty sure the Wizards right now are pressured to win a championship, because guess what? Women's basketball team won a championship there. Capitals won a championship recently.
The what won a championship?
Yeah,
women's basketball.
What's the name of the team?
The Mystics.
Yeah, watch the Mystics.
You guys watch a lot of them?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I watched the championship ceremony.
I did, actually. Thank you. Ha!
Boom! Okay.
Yeah, I don't feel bad.
Booyah.
I literally don't feel any different than I did 5 seconds
ago. And then, obviously, the Nationals won a World Series. So it's just now you get caught up in the mode now of, you know, we have to perform to an expectation. Or
how's Dan Snyder feel about all that?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that dude. I try not to mention him.
The Washington racial slurs?
Yeah, the racial slurs.
By the way, I got 2 text messages immediately when we started talking hip-hop. I got a bunch of text messages. Somebody said elevators.
Elevators is a good one. Me and you, your mama, and your cousin,
so,
too.
So my buddy sent me Elevators, and then, of course, my other buddy immediately responded with If I Ruled the World with Nas, which is another really good one.
I love that one.
And I asked you guys during the break, is it too cliche to go with cliche songs for GOAT status?
No, it's not.
But it's hard to get to GOAT status without being cliche, right?
Yeah. I don't think there's a
like
cliche as answer when it comes to that.
Okay, good. All right, cool.
It's not. I mean, I try to go outside of the box a little bit with some of my songs. All those songs are great. That's my favorite Nas song. That's one of my favorite Outkast songs. So, I mean, all of that works. I mean,
but I go to the originator, man. It all started with Rapper's Delight.
Yeah.
It all started with Rapper's Delight.
That thing goes forever.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
That is a long song.
If you listen to that song one time,
yeah.
that beat is going to play in your head for a week. It's just going
to... That beat goes
just
going to
keep going.
I'm not
going
to lie. Because D-Mace looks like a Curtis Blow kind of guy, so I thought he was going to go with the breaks. Like, clap your hands, everybody. If you got what it takes.
Can't argue with that either. This is the point of this
the breaks.
Conversation, I guess.
Speaking of breaks.
Yeah, we're going to take one. And when we return... Derek, are you okay with this? Are you willing to put? I mean, we may not be allowed to return to the show after this next segment.
Bro, okay, we fight out of a corner. Let's do it.
Hey, how about this? How about you guys ask the question and I just produce it?
We'll answer it. But we told you to ask the question.
Yeah. Okay. Most controversial question. Stick to sports. Ever?
Yes. The most controversial.
Back after this. Derek Mason, Stick to Sports is. Brought to you by who?
By the good folks at Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorating Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, young guys, if you're moving here to Nashville.
Which we know you are.
Which we know you are. You don't have that lady next to you, that girlfriend,
which
or even
a
best friend that's a girl, or a guy that really knows anything about designing. If you don't have that person, or if you do and you just want extra, you know, advice, or just want someone to show you some things that you could possibly put in your house, then go check out Bonnie and Decorated Den. They are excellent at that, man. So go check them out. Complimentary appointment. Go online, decoratedden.com.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now on Morning Drop.
Let's get to it, buddy. Let's get to it. We already said who this is brought to you by. We know it.
Oh, you want to say it again?
Decorating Den Interiors. I'm giving a spiel. So, young men, you heard me that are moving here. Go see Bonnie at Decorating Den.
There you go.
Go see her.
Can I just ask y'all another meth question?
No. Hell, we asked the meth question yesterday.
I got another meth question.
If we can ask a meth question on the show, then we can ask this question here.
And we've asked
some really controversial
questions.
Would you rather?
Okay. Whew. Brace yourself, Marquise. You can do this. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
You've been held hostage.
Yeah, we put the mic to your mouth, and we made you say this.
This is like Reservoir Dogs, except you guys don't have the suits. Like, this is pretty
bad. We got sweatsuits.
Yeah. All right, so would you rather...
Okay, so we gotta say where we got this question
from. Let's credit Barstool Sports on this.
Okay, we'll credit Barstool Sports for this question. Would you rather your mother send a nude picture to yourself or your friends? And I'll hang up and listen.
So would you rather your mom send a nude to you or to all of your friends? I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, it has to be a no-brainer. I would rather get it. Because then I can erase it really quick.
Yes.
And it no harm, no foul. I won't even say anything to mom. I act like it never happened and move on with my life.
It would be a suppressed memory immediately.
Yes, I will compartmentalize it very quickly to never be opened again.
Yes, ever.
If it's sent to your friends.
You're done.
You are completely, because then it circulates, because your boy's going to rag you every time they see you.
And it's an important lesson here for young people, young kids. Like, anything you do on your phone, on the internet, it will last forever.
Exactly.
It will last forever. And that if you go with your friends on this question, you know that 30 years from now, you're going to walk into some Thanksgiving dinner with your buddies or something, and someone is just going to be walking in and can always end every conversation you have with any friend at any point. They can always end with, Yeah, but I've seen your mom naked.
But no. Here's even the worst part about it, because you know how guys are. We are immature.
Yeah, we're terrible.
It doesn't matter if we're 8 or 88.
Are you listening to the show right
yes.
now?
Yes, 8 or 88. We are immature. So I can see a scenario where they are throwing a party.
Oh, no.
A party, and you walk into the house, and there are cutouts of your mom everywhere.
Oh, my God.
You don't want that. Guys will do that. Guys will do that. Guys will take the picture and blow it up around the house. They will do that.
I would prefer to take the psychological burden on myself.
Yeah.
And save, frankly, you're actually protecting Mom, a little bit. You're protecting mom from the ridicule of decades worth of friends being really awful people to you.
Oh, of course.
It is a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
I saw this question and I was like, that's not even a it's not even close.
Yeah. I just have to take the brunt of it, man.
Yeah. Give it. I'll deal with it. I'll compartmentalize it, like you said.
I couldn't look at mom for a while. Though, hey, are you coming for Thanksgiving? No, Mama, I'm not coming. I'm not coming for Thanksgiving. I got something to do. I come next Thanksgiving, but I'm not coming this Thanksgiving. Yeah,
I need a break from the holidays.
I need a holiday break. I got something to do, Mama.
Oh my God! I just think, listen, this we make you think on this show.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, we want to ask tough questions. You're free from here.
Are y'all good?
Marquise was not. He was. We demanded to ask for him to ask that question. Marquise did not want to do that. It was against his will. He was sort of a hostage there.
Yeah, pretty much so. But okay,
but think about it and ask your buddies tonight.
Exactly.
Ask your friends today the same question.
I ain't asking nobody this question. I got mine.
Quickly.
They can listen to the audio.
If that indeed happens to you, and I'm speaking to the married people out there, and mom accidentally sends you a picture and mom.
What
you know,
are you talking about?
Mom,
we're done with the question.
We're not done with it. Mom accidentally sends you that picture, and you know, mom got it going on to be her age, whatever age she is. Do you then quickly compartmentalize it, put it away, and you go immediately to wife and say, "Wife, I need to see you. I just need to see you to get that out of your mind." To get that out, you know what I'm talking about. To get that out, I got to see another. I got to get another visual.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I got to get another visual.
This is too many questions about this.
I got to get another visual. I think I would say I got to get another visual. I think Marquise is leaving. Yeah, he put on his backpack.
I'd like the record to show that now I tried to move the segment along, and Derek asked another question.
Hey, man, come on. We asked about meth yesterday. We've talked about some other stuff. Then why not ask? Because that is a legitimate question. Like, guys, you need to ask yourself and your buddies that tonight.
I would. I don't think you'd need to, but.
just see what they really say. Don't.
These are the important questions.
Yeah.
These are the questions. These are the important questions.
All right, keep us employed, Marquise.
You got something else for us?
Well, I don't even know if I should ask my meth question now. But what's
you actually have another meth question?
Well, yeah, because two chemistry professors have been watching too much Breaking Bad, obviously, because they got arrested for making meth at one of the universities there in Arkansas. So now they're arrested for trying to make meth. One's a 74-year-old. And her 29-year-old son tried to do the exact same thing in 2011. So, yeah.
Well, they have a history of this.
There's a history of making meth.
So they were actually trying to be drug dealers? Like, that was the whole, like Walter White?
Pretty much. This is a...
It wasn't like an actual experiment at the university for some experimental reason? It
no.
was, Henderson
University,
meth to sell drugs.
Henderson State University in Arkansas. Yep. Facing charges on making meth. So we have to start, like, interviewing every chemistry teacher in America now. Ever since Breaking Bad came out, do you have Walter White syndrome?
You know what? I'm surprised there are not more of these
stories.
Yes, yeah, stories when it comes to, you know, chemists, because these are some of the smartest people in the world. They can pretty much kind of put a lot of things together and come up with whatever it is. I'm surprised we don't hear more about situations like this.
Especially stuff that can just be fabricated.
Exactly.
Like, it's one thing if you need like 4,000 acres of South American land to grow a drug. It's a different thing when you can just do it in your basement.
Yeah,
like, that's way scarier.
I wonder how many seasons they hit this for. How many seasons?
Are you talking about Walter White?
Oh, we're talking about the Arkansas Walter White now.
Clearly, they
got canceled after like a year. Do you have Walter White syndrome?
It's a horrible reboot.
Is that what we're going to coin it now?
I love that show.
The Walter White syndrome?
Yeah, Walter White syndrome.
Well, but what's interesting about that show is the premise at the beginning is so great because it is a question of life or death, where if you are going to die and you need to provide for your family, are you willing to cross moral and ethical lines to do something for your family. I think mm-hmm. that is a fascinating human condition and sort of conundrum to sort of deal with. I think that's what made the show so popular right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. But then once he's cured, spoiler alert, once he no longer has cancer,
he's still doing
for like the last four seasons.
What? You don't have cancer. Like, what's what are you talking about?
Like, at that point, it's just a drug movie.
Yeah, drug movie, basically.
Which is cool with me, too. I like that, too. But I what makes the concept so interesting to me is what lengths are you willing to go to as a human being, morally and ethically, to try to set your family up financially for success? And I think there are a lot of people that would never admit it that would say, you know what, I'll do a lot of things. If it means my kids' education is paid for, if it means my wife and kids will be taken care of, that to me is what made Breaking Bad so interesting. And then after like three seasons, like he's cancer-free and like everything's fine. And I'm like, oh, this isn't...
It's not cool
it's
anymore.
Not as, it's not as...
entertaining.
What are you doing, Walter? Go back to the car wash, man.
Yeah, I'm not morally conflicted anymore.
Exactly.
Right? I'm just like, oh, now
it's just wrong.
Now you're just a drug dealer.
Yeah. Now it's just wrong.
I still haven't seen the movie either. That's on Netflix.
I have not watched it either. I need to, though.
That needs to be on. Yeah. I said I watched Dolomite before I watched that, but Dolomite was just too hard to pass up.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Was.
Need to watch Dolomite.
Okay. Yeah. You've told me that for like a month and a half now.
Yeah, you still haven't watched it.
You know, when, like in 16 years when my kids go to college and I have time, I'll watch it. All right? In the meantime, Casey Alexander going to join us when we come back. The Battle of the Boulevard coming up tonight. Lipscomb and Belmont. Very unique situation for Coach Alexander, for sure. We'll talk to him when we return right here on Morning Drive.